headlines, China says it firmly opposes new U.S. sanctions against several of its officials and companies over alleged misdeeds in the South China Sea. Taliban militants kill at least a dozen Afghan security forces in attacks on checkpoints in northern Kunduz province. And at least 37 people are killed, hundreds more injured after a powerful 6.2 magnitude earthquake struck Indonesia's Sulawesi Island. Hello and welcome, everybody. Here in the Iranian capital, Tehran, this is World News. Our top story for this half hour: China has reiterated its firm opposition to new U.S. sanctions on Chinese officials and companies.
The measures introduced by President Trump once again showed the world what unilateralism is, what is double standards, and what is bullying. China will take necessary measures to resolutely safeguard the legitimate rights and interests of Chinese enterprises and resolutely support Chinese enterprises in safeguarding their rights and interests in accordance with the law.
The Foreign Ministry spokesman also accused U.S. President Donald Trump of generalizing the concept of national security, of using national power, and repeatedly suppressing Chinese companies for no reason. On Thursday, the Trump administration imposed an investment ban on 9 more Chinese firms for alleged misdeeds in the South China Sea. The blacklisted firms with alleged ties to the Chinese military include plane maker Comac and phone maker Xiaomi Corporation. The sanctions are the latest in a series of measures by Trump against China amid escalating tensions between the two sides. Russia says it's withdrawing from the Open Skies Treaty, citing lack of progress on upholding it after the United States last year left the accord. The Russian Foreign Ministry says it's beginning domestic procedures for the withdrawal from the pact, which allows unarmed surveillance flights over member countries. Russia's raised concerns that Washington still could get access to overflight intelligence gathered by allies who remain in the treaty. The U.S. left the accord in November, accusing Moscow of violating it. The Russian Foreign Ministry has said the U.S. Had used a fictitious pretext for its withdrawal, which disturbed the balance of interests of the participating states. Moscow's last major nuclear arms pact with Washington is also set to expire next month, just days after the inauguration of Joe Biden as the next U.S. president. Afghan officials say overnight Taliban attacks in northern Kunduz province have left at least a dozen security personnel dead and many others wounded. The officials say militants launched simultaneous raids on 2 checkpoints in Kunduz. They've been quoted as saying that a civilian was also killed in one attack. The Taliban have not commented on the raids, but the militant group has carried out similar attacks against security forces in the province in the past. The Taliban also briefly took control of Kunduz city twice. In recent years, violence has surged across Afghanistan. In recent weeks, despite ongoing talks between the Taliban and the Afghan government in Doha in an effort to find a lasting peace to the country. Well, it was November 2020 when the U.S. Acting Defense Secretary Chris Miller announced that the country would slash its troop levels to 2,500 in both Iraq and Afghanistan in the following year. The withdrawal of U.S. forces from Afghanistan has already been welcomed by top Afghan officials. They say the absence of foreign troops will not adversely affect the Afghan military. We have more in this report.
On October 7th, 2001, the U.S. and British forces attacked Afghanistan. Later in November that year, there were 1,300 American troops in the country. They were increased to 100,000 in 2010. Anti-U.S. sentiments had increased among Afghans, mainly due to its failures in protecting civilians as well as in uprooting terrorism and narcotics production. The Afghan government says international assistance to Afghan army will continue in 2021 amid the U.S. withdrawal and controversial peace talks between Kabul and the Taliban. However, some top officials here say Kabul is militarily capable of coping with any emergency situation. Addressing a recent meeting in the Afghan Defense Ministry, President Ghani emphasized that the National Army is the symbol of the country's pride and that nothing will stop it from serving the country and the nation despite a possible reduction of foreign support.
I have repeatedly said, and I'm saying now, that we will not build roads in case of emergency situations, but the Afghan Army will be fully active under any circumstances.
Top military officials in Kabul believe the withdrawal of foreign troops from Afghanistan will not create an opportunity for terrorists to win the war.
The potential withdrawal of foreign forces is not a matter of concern for us because 96% of operations are being conducted independently by our own forces. We receive aerial support from our international allies for the remaining 4%. It means that we are not concerned about the withdrawal of foreign forces.
Adding to the uncertainty surrounding the withdrawal of American forces from Afghanistan, U.S. President-elect Joe Biden will take office on January 20th as a step to announce the official stance of his administration on U.S. Taliban deal that was inked back in February 2020. As official statistics show, America's longest war in Afghanistan has so far claimed the lives of over 4,000 U.S. troops, tens of thousands of Afghan military forces, and over 50,000 civilians. Sayed Amin Alami, Kabul.
The U.S. has rejected a plea by U.N. officials to reverse the decision to declare Yemen's Ansar Allah movement a terrorist group. The U.S. Deputy Ambassador to the U.N. said the designation would help move forward the political process to settle the Yemen conflict. Richard Mills was addressing a U.N. Security Council briefing that saw fierce criticism of the U.S. decision. On Sunday, Washington blacklisted the Ansar Allah movement, which controls northern Yemen. U.N. officials have opposed the designation, citing humanitarian impact and dire consequences for the peace process in Yemen.
I am extremely concerned about the impact of the decision from the United States to designate Ansar Allah as a foreign terrorist organization. We fear, in my mission, that there will be inevitably a chilling effect on my efforts to bring the parties together.
We are struggling now without the designation. With the designation, it's going to be catastrophic. It literally is going to be a death sentence to hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of innocent people in Yemen.
UN Humanitarian Chief Mark Lowcock also urged Washington to reverse its decision. He said Ansar Allah's designation could cause a famine not seen in the past four decades. The European Union also criticized the U.S., saying the designation could hinder aid deliveries to Yemen. The country has been devastated by the Saudi-led war that began in 2015. The UN has described Yemen as the world's worst humanitarian crisis. Ansar Allah and its allied army units are fighting Riyadh that is backed by Washington. International lawyer Edward Corrigan says that the U.S.'s decision to blacklist Ansar Allah would be another disaster for millions of people in Yemen.
A lot of commentators look at the Hutus, and they're based in Sana'a, as the real government, and then the Saudis and UAE and their allies are in the south, with their fracture too. The Saudis support one faction, the UAE supports another faction. There is Al-Qaeda elements. There are, people that are tied with the Yemeni government, but that's a confusing mess. But this is clearly a disaster to say that they're a terrorist group and then to impose all sorts of sanctions. The European Union, European countries are opposed to this. You also have the United Nations speaking out strongly against it.
Right.
And again, it's the poor people of Yemen, they're going to suffer the consequences. They're going to be starved into submission. The only tool Trump administration has is a sledgehammer, and they just want to smash their opponents.
News review, where we look deeper into some of the top stories of the day. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps has launched major military exercises in the central desert of the country. The first stage of the maneuvers kicked off with firing surface-to-surface ballistic missiles and operating bomber drones. The missiles equipped with detachable warheads are guided from outer space and are able to penetrate into the enemy's missile shield. The exercises have been held in the presence of IRGC Commander-in-Chief Major General Hossein Salami and other senior military officials. Salami hailed the drills as successful, adding that using new technology in controlling and directing missiles and drones was one of the main features of the maneuvers. Head of IRGC's Aerospace Division, Amirali Hajizad, also said that Iran test-fired a new generation of ballistic missiles during Friday's exercises. Joining us on this edition of the News Review, we have journalist and commentator Mostafa Khoshchesh joining us from the Iranian capital, Tehran. Also, we have author and commentator Mr. John White joining us from Edinburgh. Mr. White, I'm going to start off with you. How do you view the importance and the significance of these drills?
Well, certainly they're necessary given the multiple threats that Iran is faced with from hostile powers in the region, primarily Israel and Saudi Arabia, and also surrounded by many US bases within striking distance. The US Fifth Fleet is headquartered at Bahrain and regularly patrols the Persian Gulf. But the most important reason why these exercises are so necessary now is because of the unhinged character of Donald Trump. With a week to go before his time in office ends, he recently deployed B-52 bombers to the region, which is a serious provocation. So it's certainly timely that Iran conducts these exercises to prove that its military is up to the task of any threats it may face. It's modernized, and it keeps up a strong deterrence.
Mr. Khoshchesh in Tehran, talk to us about these drills and the significance of these exercises. We know that a new generation of missiles were also tested during today's exercises and drills.
Thanks for having me. Well, it's true Tehran has been exposed to many threats since the Islamic Revolution. It came under attack by Saddam Hussein, which was supported by 37 eight nations directly and more than 80 nations indirectly. While Tehran was under sanctions, so it started its arms development program in the 1980s. And now it has developed a very robust asymmetrical power and water in with regard to its missile power that has deterred enemies. So it's very much important to deter the United States and Israeli threats to Iran. And also, it's very much important to deter Donald Trump's threat to Tehran. That's very important. But these are the points that my colleague said, and I need to add up more angles to that. You know that the United States maximum pressure policy, which will be pursued, of course, by President-elect Joe Biden, is aimed at containing Iran's power components in the region, its nuclear industry, as well as its missile industry. So these drills are a message to Biden that Tehran has no intention, not at all whatsoever, to go for compromise or concession to limit or contain its missile program, especially its ballistic missile power. Also, what needs to be understood much more in strategic context is that the United States has long been pursuing a policy of containment through threats, opposing credible military threats, but not necessarily any kind of action, alongside sanctions in order to change the perception of Iranian public and elected officials, the ones that they elect to office and then change their calculations, push them through talks in order not to resolve the conflict, but to give concessions the way they desire. And that's what happened with regard to the JCPOA, as we all witnessed very, very clearly. So they mean to go for the same path under Joe Biden. This strategy started under Obama, and it was continued despite all allegations and views and cries about Donald Trump. He never did anything beyond this containment strategy. So it's very much important to note that when it comes to military threats by the United States and Israel, what is for real is augmented. The picture is important. The perception is important. So it doesn't entail any kind of action necessarily. They mean to just change the perception in Tehran and among the public and officials, and to change the calculations to push them to talks to receive merits from and concessions from Tehran. So they do propaganda 7-8 times more than the reality, what is under the ground, and they try to change the calculations in Tehran. Last year, in triple incidents in the Persian Gulf with regard to the British ship, as well as the global hawk that Iran shut down, as well as the Iranian missile strike on Ain al-Assad, we all saw that there was no action on the part of the United States. So it's just threats for the sake of changing calculations, the image and the propaganda that they do is very important, and the effect and impact of this propaganda and image, media image, that they try to portray among Iranian officials and people is very, very much important. Now, these drills sending this message that no matter what you do, and irrespective, and unlike, despite all your propaganda, Iran is very much resolved to stand strong with regard to its missile program, and threats are hollow, and Tehran would not budge. This is very important because Iran tested new technology. And in the words of Iranian top commander, Hajizadeh, aerospace commander, he said that Iran generated a new power today through a combination of new ballistic missiles that resemble somehow the multiple re-entry vehicles, somehow, alongside different types of drills. This is a direct message that threats that they are trying to send to Iran are not interpreted as credible. Now, we know that the United States has lost the credibility of its threat. Now they are trying to bring Israel into this equation, to introduce Israel as a threatening power to Tehran. Tehran is sending a message that it doesn't believe that Israel could even protect its own occupied territories, the Palestinian occupied territories, let alone coming to threaten Tehran. Yet, Tehran needs to show that it's very much strong to deter any kind of possible attack by anyone. So the drills, as my colleague said, Donald Trump is in its final days in office. The drills are very much important to send us a strong message that Biden could not continue the same containment strategy through threats.
Right. Mr. White, I'm going to come back to you now. Please, if you have anything to add to the comments made by our guest, Antaron. Also, I'd like you to elaborate on another issue, the fact that despite the sanctions, the technology that was put on display, how important is it that all of this was indigenous and domestically manufactured in Iran?
Well, this is a wonderfully symbolic statement made by the Iranians with regard to the high-tech nature of their capability now with regards to their missile stocks. The Americans will be worried. The Israelis will certainly be worried, as will the Saudis, because Iran has proved that despite the attempts, as my colleague rightfully and eloquently explained, to exert maximum pressure vis-a-vis sanctions, Iran still has the will, the capability, and the cohesiveness to develop this kind of missile technology. So I think that Western intelligence agencies will be very surprised at what the Iranians have unveiled. And every military exercise is part of a conversation taking place between adversaries. And Iran clearly, due to its inability to trust the words of an American president when it comes to diplomatic agreements vis-a-vis the Iran nuclear deal, understands that peace for Iran in the region can only come through strength. This is making a strong statement. The Iranians are rightfully angry at the way that Trump ripped up the Iran nuclear deal, the JCPOA, and they will be expecting Joe Biden to come and with an apologetic stance to re-enter and resurrect that deal, which was one of Obama's few foreign policy successes and one of the few successes of US diplomacy since the demise of the Soviet Union. So Joe Biden has a lot to prove, and he has a lot to prove to the Iranians. The Iranians have nothing to prove to him. They've done nothing wrong. It's all about Joe Biden and the approach he takes to Iran and he takes to Israel and the Palestinians, which is still the burning question at the heart of that region's instability and ongoing strife.
Right. Thanks a lot to author and commentator John White joining us from Edinburgh. Also, thanks to journalist and commentator Mostafa Khoshchesh joining us from the Iranian capital, Tehran. With that, it brings us to an end here on this edition of our news review. But do stay tuned. There's plenty more to come here on. And that brings us to an end here on this edition of the World News. Do stay tuned, though. Bye.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Path towards enlightenment.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, and welcome to another episode of our weekly series titled Path Towards Enlightenment, which is an endeavor to make you and us familiar with an easy and fluent explanation of God's final scripture to all mankind, the Noble Quran, which was revealed to the last and greatest of all messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. We start from where we left you last week, and here is Ayah 32 of Surah Jathiyah.
وَإِذَا قِيلَ إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ وَالسَّاعَةُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا قُلْتُمْ مَا نَدْرِي مَا السَّاعَةُ إِنْ ظَنُّ إِلَّا ظَنًّا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُسْتَيْقِنِينَ.
And when it was said, Allah's promise is indeed true, and there is no doubt about the hour, you said, we do not know what the hour is. We know nothing beyond conjectures, and we do not possess any certainty. Remember, in our last Friday's episode of this series, while explaining the previous ayah of this surah, we said that despite the earnest endeavors of the prophets, the imams, the saints, the scholars, and the righteous persons, the intransigent sinners, idol worshippers, atheists, and all other disbelievers refused to heed the words of guidance and persisted in their evil ways until death overcame them. As a result, they will be engulfed in torment and punishment on the day of resurrection, which they used to deny with disdain and self-conceit, which means the all-merciful Lord never wrongs anyone. And it is only the sinners and disbelievers who wrong themselves by indulging in evil, despite the ample opportunities for repentance and reform provided by God. The ayah that we recited to you now means to say that the characteristics of the disbelievers include suspicion, while those of the believers include inquiry, follow-up, and attainment of certitude. On the day of resurrection, disbelievers shall be engulfed by the evil consequences of their evil deeds, because whenever the true believers would remind them of the truth of God's promise and the eventuality of the Day of Judgment, instead of contemplating, they used to dismiss it as a conjecture. They would say with disdain, what is that? We do not know what the hour is. In other words, if these very disbelievers are told that their house is exposed to fire or flood, they will instantly react and make preparations to avert such a probable danger. But When they are reminded of the day of resurrection and judgment, they do not consider any likelihood for its occurrence. From this ayah, we learn that, number one, the true believers should convey the words of truth to all, so that the argument is sealed and no one has any excuses in this regard. And number two, for the conscientious, even the mention of the day of resurrection is enough to prevent them from committing sins. Let us now listen to Ayah 33 of the same surah.
وَبَدَا لَهُمْ سَيِّئَاتُ مَا عَمِلُوا وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ.
The evils of what they had done will appear to them, and they will be besieged by what they used to deride. This Ayah says that, on the day of resurrection, the disbelievers will be handed the record of their deeds and will not be able to deny anything. Their evil deeds shall be made manifest for them on the day of judgment, and they will realize what they used to ridicule has finally engulfed them, and there is no escape from its consequences. From this ayah, we learn the following points. Number one, on the day of resurrection, all our deeds will become manifest for us along with their consequences. And number two, those who mock divine rules and teachings of the prophets will one day face the consequences of their arrogant and evil behavior. Now let us listen to Ayah 34 of Surah Jathiyah.
وَقِيلَ الْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاكُمْ كَمَا نَسِيتُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا وَمَأْوَاكُمُ النَّارُ وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ.
And it will be said, today we will forget you, just as you forgot the encounter of this day of yours. The fire will be your abode, and you will not have any helpers. According to Quranic teachings, forgetfulness resulting from the weak memory of a person is neither a crime nor a sin, therefore not punishable. But if a person feigns forgetfulness or does not pay attention to God's commandments out of arrogance and disdain for divine rules, he or she deserves punishment. For example, some persons deny the occurrence of the day of resurrection and insist upon the wrong belief, while some others, even if they do not deny it, are heedless of it in their daily life and act in a way as if they have forgotten it. Both groups will be punished in proportionate with their deeds, and on the day of resurrection, God will treat them as if he had forgotten them. In other words, they have deprived themselves of divine mercy, and as a result will be cast into hell with no helper to save them. Afflicted by torment, the disbelievers shall be told by the angels in charge of their tormenting that the prophets and their teachings were meant to remind you of the eventuality of such a day, but you used to ridicule their words of guidance. As a result, now you have to bear the consequence of your sins, being left to taste the everlasting torment in hell, without any helper to rescue you. This ayah teaches us that, number one, anyone who ignores the eventuality of the day of resurrection through negligence of divine commandments or feigning forgetfulness out of arrogance will be left to his or her fate in the fires of hell, as if forgotten. And number two, mere belief is not enough and should be coupled with virtuous deeds, since a true believer is always conscious of the day of resurrection and judgment. Now let us listen to Ayah 35 of the same surah.
ذلكم بأنكم اتخذتم آيات الله هزوا وغرتكم الحياة الدنيا فاليوم لا يخرجون منها ولا هم يستعتبون.
That is because you took the signs of God in derision and the life of the world had deceived you. So today they will not be brought out of it, that is hell, nor will they be asked to placate Allah. This ayah means to say persons engrossed in material pursuits and deceived by the pleasures or sorrows of mundane life begin to deride truth and realities, as well as the eventuality of the day of resurrection. As a result, they shall plunge in hell from whose torments they will not find deliverance, nor will be able to justify their excuses for ridiculing divine signs. The disbelievers are thus warned that this is their recompense for the deeds for mocking at the eventuality of the judgment day and the punishment for the sinners, for turning away from the guidance of the prophets with such absurd phrases as, "Who knows of the hereafter? Where is hell? Where is paradise?" This ayah teaches us that, number one, eternal misery in the hereafter is the result of being engrossed in material pursuits and deceived by mundane life. And number two, through the prophets, God Almighty has sealed all argument for mankind so that nobody will be able to raise any excuse on the Day of Judgment. Now we present you ayahs 36 and 37, which mark the end of Surah Jathiyah.
فَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَرَبِّ الْأَرْضِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ.
So all praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of the heavens and the Lord of the earth, the Lord of all the worlds. To him belongs all supremacy in the heavens and the earth, and he is the Almighty, the All-Wise. These ayahs mean to say that all praise is for the one and only creator of the entire universe and whatever it contains of the heavens, the earth, the innumerable planets, the plants, the animals, the birds, the inanimate things, as well as souls and bodies. Allah Almighty thus has majesty and supremacy over everything in the universe, which the omnipotent sovereign has arranged with perfect order in harmony with the rule of nature, based on infinite wisdom. This means we human beings are duty-bound to develop his cognizance in the proper manner and express gratitude for his innumerable bounties. These ayahs teach us the following points. Number one, he who has created the universe, including the earth and its wonders of nature, deserves the highest praise. Number two, the entire creation reflects the majesty, power, and wisdom of the one and only Creator. And number three, the proper cognition of God prevents us from disbelief and sins and leads to obedience and the correct form of worship. Well, dear listeners, inshallah, next week we will take up explanation of the next surah in the serial order, that is Ahqaf. God bless you and goodbye. Thank you.
This is A to Z. An Introduction to Islamic Lifestyle. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon you all. This is A to Z, coming to you from IRIB English Radio, and I'm your host, Ali. This radio show is about Islamic lifestyle, and in each episode, we will be talking about a different lesson. Please stay with us till the end of today's program. Today's lesson, Justice Among Children. One of the capital mistakes is discrimination in treatment of children. Some people favor their older and so-called senior child, and others favor their younger child. Sometimes they exceed the bounds and reserve all of their kindness, property, and affections for one of them, and deprive the others totally. This provokes the fire of malice and envy in the hearts of the ones left out, and in time, this will develop into enmity among themselves and vindictiveness towards their parents, and they may even seek vengeance in the society. Now, some things are natural, right? So when there is a newly born baby, everybody seems to love that baby, right? We're not talking about that love that you have for like a newborn baby. We're talking about when your children are slightly grown up. That's when, you know, sometimes some parents, unfortunately, end up giving more attention and more level and status to some of their children and start to ignore some others. And there are different reasons for that, and we're going to go over that in future programs. But when it comes to children, we're expected, because they're all our offsprings, they're all our children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to give them their due share. We cannot be unjust with our own children. Sometimes some parents end up being like that without thinking too much. So this is what we're pointing at, that, you know, give equal attention to all your children. Welcome back to your listeners. Today we are discussing justice among children, and we said that sometimes some parents end up being unjust towards some of their children. This is what we were discussing before the break. How does that happen? We're going to discuss at length. You know, there are different reasons for such a behavior. But first thing first, Islam expects us to be just towards our children. We cannot be unjust towards some and be just towards some. We cannot give more attention to some and less attention to some. Similarly, when it comes to our property, Islam expects us to do justice, you know, and this is important. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Observe justice among your children, just as you would like that they render justice among you." Brothers and sisters, discrimination means the unjust treatment of children on the grounds of appearance, gender, aptitude, skills, and family expectations. We cannot discriminate towards the children, like one of our children. This is something un-Islamic to do. It means treating children adversely without any appropriate justification. A negative outlook or prejudice can lead to discrimination. This is usually observed in parents who choose to focus on children who exhibit greater skills, aptitude, and talent. You know, one of your child is really smart, and when they go to school, you know, they're distinguished students. The other one is not so bright, right? In their academics, they're not so good. So naturally, you know, sometimes parents start to invest more in that brighter kid. This is not something right. This is not something Islamic in nature. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
The limelight.
Former Michigan Governor Rick Snyder, a Republican who has been out of office for 2 years, was in his post when state-appointed managers in Black City of Flint switched the city's water to the Flint River in 2014 as a cost-saving step while a pipeline was being built to Lake Huron. However, the water was not treated to reduce corrosion, a disastrous decision affirmed by state regulators that caused lead to leach from old pipes and spoil the distribution system used by nearly 100,000 residents. The disaster made Flint a nationwide symbol of governmental mismanagement, with residents lining up for bottled water and parents fearing that their children had suffered permanent harm. In this regard, we have prepared for you a news report written jointly by Ed White and David Egger, titled "Michigan Plans to Charge Ex-Governor Snyder in Flint Water Probe." This article has appeared on the front page of the Associated Press News Agency's website. Here's the detail. Former Michigan Governor Rick Snyder, his health director, and other ex-officials have been told they are being charged after a new investigation of the Flint water scandal, which devastated the majority Black city with lead-contaminated water and was blamed for a deadly outbreak of Legionnaire disease. Two people with knowledge of the planned prosecution told the AP recently that the Attorney General's office has informed defense lawyers about indictments in Flint and told them to expect initial court appearances soon. They spoke to the AP on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak publicly. The AP could not determine the nature of the charges against Snyder. Former Health Department Director Nick Lyon and others who were in his administration, including Rich Bird, a friend who was the governor's key troubleshooter while in office. Courtney Covington Watkins, a spokeswoman for the Attorney General's office, said only that investigators were working diligently and will share more as soon as we are in the position to do so. Snyder, a Republican who has been out of office for 2 years, was governor when state-appointed managers in Flint switched the city's water to the Flint River in 2014 as a cost-saving step while a pipeline was being built to Lake Huron. However, the water was not treated to reduce corrosion, a disastrous decision affirmed by state regulators that caused lead to leach from old pipelines and spoiled the distribution system used by nearly 100,000 residents. Snyder's attorney, Brian Lennon, released a blistering statement recently saying a criminal prosecution would be outrageous. He said the state prosecutors have refused to share information about these charges with us. Lennon claimed rather than following the evidence to find the truth, the Office of a Special Counsel appears to be targeting former Governor Snyder in a political escapade. Snyder apologized for the catastrophe during his 2016 State of the Speak and said government at all levels had failed Flint. Lee Ann Walters, a mother of four who is credited with exposing the lead contamination, said she wants details about the charges. Walters said the very fact that people are being held accountable is an amazing feat, adding, but when people's lives have been lost and children have been severely hurt, it doesn't seem like enough. The disaster made Flint a nationwide symbol of governmental mismanagement, with residents lining up for bottled water and parents fearing that their children had suffered permanent harm. Lead can damage the brain and nervous system and cause learning and behavior problems. The crisis was highlighted as an example of environmental injustice and racism. At the same time, bacteria in the water was blamed for an outbreak of Legionnaire. Legionna bacteria can emerge through misting and cooling systems, triggering a severe form of pneumonia, especially in people with weakened immune systems. Authorities counted at least 90 cases in Janice County, including 12 deaths. The outbreak was announced by Snyder and Leon in January 2016, although Leon considered that he knew that cases were being reported many months earlier. In 2018, Leon was ordered to stand trial on involuntary manslaughter charges after a special prosecutor accused him of failing to timely inform the public about the outbreak. His attorneys argued there wasn't enough solid information to share earlier. By June 2019, the entire Flint water investigation was turned upside down after more than 3 years and millions of dollars. Prosecutors working under a new attorney general, Dana Nessel, dismissed the case against Leon as well as charges against seven more people and said the probe would start anew. The decision didn't affect seven people who had already pleaded no contest to misdemeanors. They cooperated with the investigators, and their records were eventually scrubbed clean. Leon's attorney said he was turned down when he asked prosecutors for a copy of new charges. Chief Chamberlain claimed the new case would be a travesty of justice. Testimony at court hearings had raised questions about when Snyder knew about the Legionnaire outbreak. His urban affairs advisor, Harvey Collins, told a judge that the governor was informed on Christmas Eve 2015, but Snyder had told reporters 3 weeks later, in January 2016, that he had just learned about it. Defense attorney Randy Levine said he was informed recently that Bird, a Flint native, would face charges. Another lawyer, Jamie White, said former Flint Public Works Chief Howard Croft is being charged. Levin said of Bert when the Flint water crisis hit, he wasn't assigned by Governor Snyder to go to Flint, but rather he raised his hand and volunteered. A resident, Edna Sabuco, 61, said she still uses water filters, although the lead service line at her home of 40-plus years has been replaced, along with more than 9,700 others in Flint. Sabuco said of Snyder, he swept things under the rug, in my opinion, and to me that makes him just as guilty as everybody else, because he should have some outshining like a canary. Separately, the state, Flint, a hospital and an engineering firm have agreed to a $641 million settlement with residents over the water crisis, with $600 million coming from Michigan. A judge is considering whether to grant preliminary approval.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The West is obliged to lift the sanctions against Iran immediately. Imam Khamenei used to address the whole nation on the anniversary of the January 8, 1978, which is 19th of Day Uprising, in the presence of thousands of people from Qom in the Husseinia of Imam Khomeini. The U.S. economy is crippled in the true sense of the word. There are tens of millions of unemployed people who suffer from hunger and homelessness. Such is the current situation in the U.S. The U.S. believes its interests lie in creating instability in the region. They state this openly.
Your light and love, all I see, nothing more I'd ever want to need, my Lord.
In the year 1388, which is 2009, the U.S. wished to create instability in Iran, and now this has happened to themselves this year in 1399, which is 2020. In that year, they wished to do in Iran what has happened in Washington, in particular, the events taking place the day before yesterday. Certain individuals poured into the U.S. Congress, and as a result, they had to evacuate the members of Congress through secret passageways. The Front of Arrogance keeps questioning Iran's presence in the region. However, the Islamic Republic has the duty to behave in such a way as to strengthen its friends and supporters in the region. Our presence leads to stability. It has been proven that the Islamic Republic's presence in the region helps to eliminate the causes of instability, such as the issue of Daesh, ISIS, in Iraq, various matters in Syria, and the like. However, I do not want to enter into in these details now. Those who are involved in these matters are perfectly aware of this. Therefore, our presence in the region is a definite matter, which should and will continue.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.